Welcome to the United Cast, this entertainment talks podcast for Man United. I'm your host Matthew, and Manchester United are the 2023 Carabao Cup winners. We did it. We actually did do it. Yes, the first time, apart from the FA Youth Cup, which is for the Youth Academy team, first time celebrating a trophy on the United Cast. Been doing this since August of 2019. Of course, that was the summer of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Dan James, Wan-Bissaka and Harry Maguire. It's been a long road. It's been a long, long road. It's been a long, long time coming. Of course, there was the very painful Europa League in 2021. I don't remember what I said on that podcast, but probably wasn't very happy. Yeah, been just watching the after game interviews and the trophy lifts and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a little bit different than usual, but the trophy drought is over. The trophy drought is finally over. 6 years, or almost 6 years, for Manchester United. The 2017 Europa League, last time with Jose Mourinho. It's been a very emotional couple of hours. A very, very emotional couple of hours. From nerves to tears of happiness to relief. Not necessarily all in that order, but like a mixture of them at different points. To celebrations. Realizations that we're actually going to win it. I'll tell you all something. I think we went to, I haven't got the summary in front of me, which I usually do. I'll just open that up. I think we scored, when did we score our second goal? It was in the 20th minute or something like that. 40 minutes. Now, this is a very dangerous thing to do in football, but we scored that second goal 40 minutes. So there's still 50 minutes left of the game. No, more than that. 50 minutes left of the game. And I don't know if it was my confidence was rising because we'd gone 2-0 up and we were gaining control of the game. We scored that second goal. And I just thought, we've done it. We've won. Not even in the second half. This was a very, very good game of football to watch. It just kind of, I don't know, all of, and I know that's a very, like, you know, 40 minutes is nothing in football. You could be, you know, a couple of goals down by the 40th minute, and there's still a whole half of football left to go, and still 5 minutes left of the first half. But we'd scored that second goal, and I just thought, we've done it. Which is really, 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 really early to do that in a football game. But I just had, you know, when you're just watching a game or you're watching something, or whatever, and you've just got that feeling. Which is interesting because the first 10 minutes or so, 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes, Newcastle were kind of getting into the game, and I was thinking that this was the more nervous part of me coming out and thought, maybe we won't win this. Not in a negative way of like, we're not going to, but, you know, it's not a done deal that we just play this game and we easily win it. I do think it was easy by the end. Like, when you look at those last, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90 minutes, Newcastle started to drift from the game, I think. They were still making chances, but they started to drift from the game. Credit to Newcastle still. They still put up a really, really good fight. Almost scored a couple of times, so that they weren't, you know, they didn't just roll over and get defeated. But wow, this feels quite like strange for me. I don't even know how many games I've reviewed at this point on the United Cast, but almost 3 years, because if you're thinking 2019, no, yeah, three and a bit years, about three and a half roughly, that I've been doing this. And I mean, what's the closest we've come before this? We were in a number of semi-finals with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Last season, I don't even remember what happened. We got nowhere with anything. And Carabao Cup final 2 years ago. A couple of semi-finals. I remember there was one against Leicester. I think there was a semi-final or two against Chelsea. Man City, there was a double leg Carabao Cup. I think that was a semi-final. We've been in some difficult places on the United Cast. We've seen a lot of things. It's just so nice as well to, last season it was, oh, can Chelsea stop Liverpool winning the FA Cup and Carabao Cup? No. Okay, then we watched Liverpool lift two trophies. Then it was, can Man City stop Liverpool winning the league? They did. Then it was, can Real Madrid stop Liverpool winning the Champions League? And they did. And we've been too reliant on other teams too long to stop other teams winning things. Like to stop Liverpool winning the league, or this we're kind of doing that a little bit this season with if we don't get it, hopefully Arsenal do so that City don't. But in terms of like, because I'm thinking back to the Carabao Cup and FA Cup finals last season and thinking, come on Chelsea, you need to win this, instead of rooting for my own team because my own team had been so bad last season that we hadn't got anywhere near it. And just seeing us be there instead for once, for the first time in 6 years. I'm so glad that the trophy drought is over as well. It got to 5 years last year and you thought, oh, half a decade. It's a long time. It's a long, long time. How far into this half a decade are we going to get to 10 years? Is it going to be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? And it was, we have to do something. We have to stop seeing City and Liverpool win everything all the time. Obviously, Champions League is a bit different, but this team just has to, they have to do something. We can't keep relying on other teams and we can't keep watching other teams win things. And to see us this to today lifting it instead, and we weren't relying on another team. We were just hoping that we would be better, good enough to be better than Newcastle, that we would win. And look, I know it's Newcastle, they're still in their early stages. We kind of are as well. Eddie Howe, was he in charge towards the end of last season? He's been there a very, very short time anyway, and so has Ten Hag. So both teams are in very, very early stages of their development. But it was simply a case of, okay, this isn't the Newcastle team that's a joke, that's a relegation candidate team anymore. This is a more serious Newcastle team that can do something. Because I remember, I was speaking to my dad this week, and I remember there was a, I think it was in 2003, when we beat Millwall in an FA Cup final. It was 2003 or 4 or something like that, and we beat Millwall in the Cup final. That felt easy, but I think, obviously I'm casting my brain back almost 10 years, I think they were in Championship, I think, if I remember correctly, and that was in an FA Cup. I think that was a game where Ronaldo scored two goals and Forlan scored two goals, so that's going back a bit. But yeah, I mean, it's a cup final. Cup finals are just a different beast to your everyday, your every week sort of Premier League games. It just, yeah, it's such a delight not only to have the 6 years, like it's over now. There is no current trophy drought anymore. There's other trophy droughts for other things, like 10 years since Premier League, however long since FA Cup, and however long since Champions League. But for just a trophy, it's really, really good. There is a bit of a thing of like, okay, calm down kind of thing. It is only the Carabao Cup, which I understand that angle, but because we've been so up and down since Alex Ferguson's retirement, we've won a couple of things, but since we've been so up and down since then, and it's been, Mourinho won that Europa League, then it was 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, and it's like, okay, no matter what it is, we have to win something. We have to just get that goat. Is it called get a goat off your back or whatever? We have to just get this trophy drought over with and win something. And kind of, work from there, and win this, get the winning mentality back, get the good, like positive mentality back within this team, get that fighting mentality back within this team, and just get something back on the board, in terms of trophies. And now you're looking at it now, right? And now you're thinking, brilliant! You celebrate tonight. You continue celebrating until you win your next thing. But it's like, okay, yes, it is a small trophy. It's not the Champions League, it's not the Premier League, the big two, obviously, it's not the FA Cup, but it's a trophy that is one that you have to work a lot for. You have to go through quite a lot of rounds, and it's still great to win that. But now what we do, we push forward. There's still trophies available this season, the FA Cup, and the Europa League. Premier League, possibly. We're not out of it, but it's not in our hands. The other two trophies are, but... Because I was listening to... I don't usually do this, but I was listening to a bunch of post-game interviews, as I said. And obviously, I was watching the team with the trophy. And, you know, I'm listening to Ten Hag talk and listening to, I think it was Luke Shaw and Rashford and a few other players. And, yeah, the general sense of mentality that I got specifically from Ten Hag was like, yep, yeah, it's great to win this today, you know, celebrate with us with the fans, but we keep pushing forward. And it feels like we're back. It really just feels like we're back. And it's so, so interesting because this got mentioned by the, I think the commentators on Sky or whatever. I can't remember which one said it, but they said, you know, we're in, what, the end of February now, right? You go back to the second game of the season, that Brentford game, and we were horrible in that game. And that was a case where, I can't remember if we'd got Casemiro at that point, but we had a few new players, and Ten Hag was here. And because we were so hungry to get back to good ways and so, like, impatient for success... And, you know, we let in some terrible goals in that game. It was 4-0. It was awful. And the team hadn't quite changed everything it needed to like it has now. Obviously, it was still very early stages and we understood that. But there was that fear of, oh, gosh, we've signed a few players. New manager. Can't blame this on Ollie anymore. He's not here. And we're still losing. Because we lost the game before that, didn't we? I think it was Brighton 2-3 or 4-0 or something. But the Brentford one, I can't remember why, but the Brentford one just stood out a bit more. I think it was the manner of the goals that we'd let in and the general performance. And it was the same thing. And really where everything changed and kind of kicked on was that Liverpool game. You know, you're going into the Liverpool game and you're thinking, they've just come away from almost winning the quad, right? And I'll save the topic of Liverpool specifically for a different time. But it was kind of, we're terrible, we lost two games to two good teams, you know, give them respect, but like, what are we going to do against Liverpool, we're screwed, right? And then I remember that moment, Sancho scored the first goal, so oh my god, we could win this game. And even though, sure, any team in football can beat any team, right? You want to take a Conference League team against Real Madrid, like... It is not impossible for a team to beat a team, but it's the thought and the mindset going into a game of thinking, we've just gotten trounced by, I think it was Brighton, and then Brentford, and that Brentford game just really, really stood out, and Liverpool have just almost won the quad. What the hell are we going to do? And we beat them. And I think it was from that game forward where you could sense that there was a bit of a change in the air, right? And I think we had Arsenal after that, didn't we? We beat them 3-1, and it's like, okay, this is different. This is like something feels different. And then games went on and on and on. And yes, we've lost a couple of games. You know, we lost the Arsenal game. We lost a few others as well. But we've won a lot of games. We've won most of our games over the last 4 months or so, 3 or 4 months or so. And there's just been these gradual changes from Ten Hag of like, nah, gonna drop Maguire. It's not good enough. I'm going to drop Lindelof. Varane is here. I'm going to bring in Martinez. I'm going to bring in Anthony. McTominay at CDM? No, I'm going to put Casemiro there. Fred? No, he's going to get taken out. Squad player. Eriksen's coming in. Bruno? He can play for it. Keep playing. And then... Oh, Ronaldo's really, really, really started dipping in form. Scored a couple of goals. Okay, he's done this interview. Okay, he's out. He's gone. He's not bigger than the club. We move on from there. And... to me, the biggest, the most important change that Ten Hag has done is what I called the main four, because obviously we used to have two holding midfield players, the Maguire-Lindelof partnership and the Fred McTominay partnership. They have played games at certain points, obviously, but breaking up those double pairings, because that's like literally the middle of the pitch, your spine of the team, was McFred and Maguire-Lindelof. Breaking those two partnerships up and putting in, and obviously it's a bit more Casemiro solo, but he's there next to Fred sometimes, but mostly it's been Eriksen. But I arguably think even more important than that, breaking up the Lindelof-Maguire partnership and dropping Maguire specifically, It was either a case where Ollie was too afraid to do it for some reason, or didn't want to, or couldn't because he didn't have the personnel. Even though there were other options he could have used. For some reason, Ollie didn't want to do that, and Ten Hag did it straight away. But we owe the man a big thank you. And of course, you know, it's not just Ten Hag. There's other coaching staff. You know, there's you know, lots and lots of work that goes into that. There's the team, which is a different team to what we had about a year ago. But we owe Ten Hag a massive, massive thank you. So thank you very much to Ten Hag for being able to pull this team back together from just broken despair. You look at the state we were in at the end of last season. And look, we might not go on to win anything else this season, but I think at bare minimum now, at very bare minimum, now that we've finally won something, even if it's just okay, finish top four and don't win the other two cups, that's still like a repaired season. Because I spoke on the what game did we just have, the Barcelona one, and I was looking and thinking, okay, cup finals next. What is the bare minimum that we all expected for Ten Hag? And I said to maybe, I think I said to maybe win a trophy, possibly, but mainly just to get back into the top four, which we're third at the moment, I think. Just to sort the team out, sort the mentality of the team out, stabilize the ship, so to speak, get some results, get some goals, make the team happy again, and get the top four. I think that was like the bare. Absolute bare minimum, and he's already done better than that. So, massive credit to him and to everybody. And look, like I said, you know, it's not the biggest trophy in the world, but what is so important here is ending the ridiculous trophy drought, getting something back on the board, and getting this team back to a winning feeling. That's what's so important here. And yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. It really, really is. And I'm so happy that we won this game. But yeah, even as I mentioned earlier, we scored that second goal. And even though, yes, obviously you can lose a two-goal lead, as soon as that second goal went in, and I thought, we've won it. I just had this feeling in me that, like, I just trusted this team. And I've mentioned kind of the core three at the back before: Varane, Martinez, Casemiro. And yeah, they've made little mistakes here and there. You know, they've done little things here and there that have led to mistakes. Every single time Newcastle attacked in this game, and obviously De Gea had some big saves to make because he's going to be having to do that. I just felt like, okay, Newcastle are going to make chances. They're going to do something in this game. But I looked at those three, and like Varane's cleared the ball again, Martinez has cleared the ball again, Casemiro's cleared the ball again, and they've done it again and again and again. And it just felt so safe and defensively solid. And although there was worrying moments of like, oh, Newcastle gotten down this side, they got a bit of space, they could score. There they were again. There the team was again to win the ball back and stop them from scoring. And look, De Gea did make some massive, massive saves in this game, but that defensive stability is just something else. Yeah, it's a good feeling. It's a very, very good feeling. In terms of the actual game itself, I don't know what to do with player ratings because, look, I tried to be, you know, fair and constructive and critical when I need to be, but praise players when I need to as well. I tried to be fair and balanced. There were a few performances that were very, very shaky today. I don't think I'll do traditional player ratings because it just, you know. We won a trophy. There's no need to be like, oh, Fred played bad, or this player played bad, or oh, why was McTominay subbed? There's no need to do that. There's no need to do that, and I don't want to do that today. So, I'll maybe like talk about each player in the player ratings thing. I'll give a man of the match as well. I think that's a normal thing to do. But and even though yes, there were a few players that did play bad, I don't really want to be giving anybody a 5 or a 4 on a day when we've won a trophy. That just it doesn't sound. It's not something I want to do. It's just not a good idea. So, anyway, but no, again, credit to Newcastle and to Eddie Howe. I believe that they will achieve success in the next couple of years. I don't think they can win anything this season though, because they're not in Europa League, are they? I don't think they are anyway. They're not in the FA Cup, and who knows what they could do in the league. But still, I'm sure they'll keep Eddie Howe. I definitely don't think that they'll sack him after losing a final. They'll keep him. I think he'll keep building that team. And for the competition of the Premier League, especially putting pressure on City and Liverpool, that's a good thing. So I want to see Newcastle do well because it will be better for the Premier League if that happens. So, but credit to them, they played well, and I believe they will do something significant in the next couple of years. So here we go. All right, let's get into the actual summary itself. Casemiro with the first goal at 33 minutes. Rashford winning a free kick. Luke Shaw with a beautiful cross and a headed goal. VAR tried to ruin the moment, of course, but you try to look at the angles yourself on the TV, and I'm like, nah, I'm pretty sure that's onside. Yeah, there was the way that they showed it at first was like, oh, look at his arm. His arm is a bit offside. And it's like, nah, don't do this in a cup final where we're just taking the lead. So, unfortunately, in the modern day game, you celebrate a goal, the first goal in a cup final, and VAR swoops in to try to ruin the moment. I understand it needs to be there for a certain reason, although there's probably ways that VAR could be better. But yeah, wonderful, wonderful moment. We were under the cosh a little bit first 10, 15, 20 minutes, maybe. Newcastle were feeding their way into the game. But we're so good at getting forward at points, aren't we? And Rashford getting forward there was carrying a bit of a knock, as you could tell, but still played really, really well. Won the free kick. Luke Shaw's usually very, very good at crossing. And another headed goal for Casemiro, which gave us the 1-0 lead. So, beautiful, wonderful moment. And big smiles on everybody's faces. Some reason they took the second goal away from Rashford. It says Botman own goal. It didn't actually go down as an official Rashford goal. But he kind of just, I can't remember who passed to him. This was quite a few hours ago now, actually. But somebody passed to him. He sort of broke down the left-hand side, didn't he? And was it Weghorst? Yeah, Weghorst held the ball up, I think, from a pass from Bruno or Casemiro. Weghorst doing really, really well to wait for that, passing it through to Rashford. I think Bruno and Antony were sort of calling for the ball, but great little shot into the goal. It did take a deflection, but I've seen goals where deflections have been much bigger than this, and they've been given to the player that kicked the ball. This wasn't a deflection that changed, like, okay, the ball's going to the right-hand side of the goal, now it's going to the left-hand side of the goal. This wasn't that much. I've seen much worse before. But yeah, came off of Botman's foot apparently, and Karius couldn't save it. Another goal for Marcus Rashford. I mean, I will personally give him the goal if that helps. But unfortunately, an own goal. I don't think Rashford will be too down about it, given the fact that we are celebrating a trophy. But no, wonderful, wonderful moment. It's that thing with Rashford, isn't it? He's breaking down that left-hand side sometimes, and you're like, oh, can he get past him? Oh, he's gotten past him. He's gotten past two. Always keep going. Always making space for a shot, and he takes a shot, and usually it goes in. So really great persistence as well there. From Rashford, and very, very good hold up play from Weghorst. And that was two. And in my mind, even though it's only the first half, I just felt like that was it. And I was actually right about that, which was odd. I just had a feeling inside of me that we've done it. We've won it from that moment. That's it. We've won the trophy. It felt like Newcastle could get back into the game. Something was just telling me that we wouldn't let them, and we didn't. So that was 2-0, and that was half time. Substitution early second half. Wan-Bissaka on for Dalot. This is exactly what I would have done. I think Dalot was doing a decent job of stopping Saint-Maximin, who's a very, very good player. Really, really good feet on him. Very good ball control. I think for someone like Saint-Maximin, it's either going to be a case where he goes to a better team, or they build, and Newcastle are a good team now, or they buy some more players, which is more likely. He stays there, and they build a team around the likes of Almiron and Saint-Maximin. But he's impressed me most times I've seen him, Saint-Maximin. Very, very good stuff. But no, Wan-Bissaka on for Dalot. Wan-Bissaka, of course, very, very well known for being good at his one-on-one defending. So that's a sub I very much agree with and very much would have done. You could kind of see a little bit that the game was slipping away from Dalot in the first half, because he is more of a attacking fullback. as opposed to what Wan-Bissaka can do. So, good subs. Then one worrying sub and one sub I was happy to see. Sabitzer on for Fred. Definitely what I would have done. Fred was starting to kind of scare me a bit. Then McTominay on for Weghorst, which I found puzzling, but it worked out in the end. So not the subs I would have made necessarily. But again, in terms of our midfield, you know, there's no Eriksen, no Donny. So yeah, what else do you do? You've got McTominay and Fred always there. Yeah. Again, today's not the day for me to go, oh, McTominay was brought on for Weghorst and I'm upset about it. Today's not the day to do that. So, but no, Sabitzer on for Fred. Something I would have definitely done. So, worked out in the end. Then Sancho on for Antony as the next substitution, which was good. I was trying to work out what the layout of the team was then. I think it was like a flat midfield three of Casemiro, Sabitzer, McTominay, which is, you know, I've seen worse, but it's quite good as well. Then I think Bruno was on the left, Rashford through the middle, and Sancho on the right, maybe? Yes, maybe, I think so. Although, no, you could play Sancho left, Rashford middle, Bruno right. Although the next section of times where we saw Bruno on the ball, he was on the left side of the pitch, so that's what I'm going to guess was the case, which is all right as well. Then, yeah, we do need to talk about Harry Maguire today. Harry Maguire subbed on for Rashford. Rashford did his part, certainly. Yeah, where should I talk about? I'll do it afterwards. I'll do it at the after the player ratings and things like that. So, yeah, I think we kind of know why this sub happened and. Fine. Again, today's not the day to be moaning about stuff like that. So, there we go. All right, that's it for the first half of the podcast. Let's go through some player discussions and man of the match choices. There were some performances I didn't think were very good, but today's not the day to be picky about those. So, let's take a break. We'll come back and then we'll talk about the players. See you in a minute. Today's sponsor is Manscaped. You can get 20% off with your order with Manscaped by using the promo code that we've got with them, which is ETALKUK, that's ETALKUK, to get 20% off your order and free shipping with Manscaped. They sell various different men's grooming products, from shavers, razors, ear and nose hair trimmers, different clothes and deodorants. You don't even need to Google Manscaped themselves. You can click on the link in your show notes, whether you're on a podcast player or the website version of the episode, and you can go and click on that link in the show notes. That's also got the promo code written in the show notes as well, so you can either copy and paste the promo code ETALKUK, ETALKUK, you can either copy and paste that into your show notes or type it in the promo code box and click apply. That will get you 20% off your order with Manscaped and free shipping. First-hand quality professional with Manscaped, from their packaging to the items themselves. Even the way the items are stored in the packaging is very, very first class, very professional, so no questions about Manscaped's quality. Thanks very much to Manscaped for sponsoring Entertainment Talks podcast, and thank you very much for listening. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or
film review, so it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
Alright, man of the match. I think it's got to go to Casemiro. Again, in terms of the middle three, if you want to call them that, Varane, Martinez, Casemiro, you could say to me, hey, why don't you pick Martinez? Why don't you pick Varane instead of Casemiro? Or good that you pick Casemiro. Any of the three of them. I mean, if you could share a man of the match, if you call it the men of the match or something, then sure, you could share it between the three of them, I think. But Casemiro, just wow. Another goal to give us the lead, to sort of lift us off the ground, if you will. Another fantastic performance. Also, you can just see from like some of the things he does, the winning mentality that's coming through. This is a man who's won a lot of stuff, and you know, to him this isn't going to be about, you know, oh, I need to go to Manchester United to win the Carabao Cup. No, that's not what the situation is here. The situation is, I'm going to go to Manchester United. You know, I've done my thing at Real Madrid. I've won titles and Champions Leagues and all sorts of things, right? I think for somebody like Casemiro and with Varane as well, this was, because I think what one or both of them said is like, hey, I'm kind of seeking a new challenge. I'm going to leave Real Madrid and go to Manchester United. Was, hey, let's see if we can go to Manchester United and win some trophies. End their trophy drought, put them back on the map, and that's what was done today. So, you know, he's kind of won the lot, so to speak, but it's a case of like, hey, let's just add something else to the cabinet, and let's add something else to Man United's cabinet, and sort of like get this team back to winning ways. So, yeah, not enough good things can be said about Casemiro. I don't know if any of you've heard what Graham Souness is, a silly man anyway. I'll call him silly to be nice. He called him like a steady Eddie or something a while ago and said, oh, the reason Casemiro is so good is because the players around him. And sure, if you look at Kroos, Modric, Casemiro, they all help each other out. It's a midfield trio that works, you know, they all have their own roles. And he's like always a steady Eddie. But people like him have said some very silly things in the past, so we'll move past that. But hey, what do you think of him now? What do you think? I mean, that was after he'd won another Champions League with Real Madrid. So like, what are you on about? Anyway, yes, Casemiro, David De Gea, very, very, very good game. A couple of really, really big saves. There was the one, I think it ended up being offside, but they were like in on goal, Newcastle, and there was like a cross that came across. And De Gea like swooped down to sort of punch it away. There was a couple of shots that were like dipping into the top corner that he saved as well, which are really, really great. Little bit off with his distribution, but again, not going to be picky about things today. And there was also a point as well where what was it that he came out? He did like a bit of a sweeper keeper thing for the ball, which was really, really good as well. So, great game for De Gea. Delo was pretty good. There's going to be players here that I'm going to be saying more and saying less about just based on their performance. But Delo handled Saint-Maximin well enough in the first half, but he did his job, but I thought played well again. Varane, Martinez just speak for themselves. I don't know what I could say about them specifically that haven't said about them before, but really, really solid performance from both of them, and it's another trophy for them to add to their cabinets, because obviously Martinez was at Ajax before and won some things with Ten Hag there, and obviously Varane, you know, World Cup, league wins, Champions League wins, he's done it all as well. Luke Shaw, really, really good performance from him. Of course, wonderful cross from him for the first goal, which was brilliant as well. So another really, really good performance from Shaw. Handled the left-hand side really, really well. Fred did all right in parts. Had a bit of a shaky game. Again, not going to be today the day to moan about it. But he did what he could in midfield. Casemiro already spoke about him. Antony held down that right-hand side really, really, really well. wonderful performance from Antony, and almost scored a couple of times. Showcased his ball control in this game incredibly well as well in this particular match, but was brilliant. Bruno Fernandes had another very, very good game. A couple of too many hero balls, but, you know, we'll leave that alone for now. Bruno Fernandes contributed very, very well again towards the win, and is the true club captain, I think. Marcus Rashford, again, one of them games where he had a bit of a knock, looked a little bit off at points because of that. You can kind of tell a bit with Rashford when he's injured, he's a little bit off his game. I will say scored another goal. I know it didn't technically count, but it's his goal. Another really fantastic performance from Rashford, so really, really good. And Weghorst, of course, who gave him the assist for that goal. Again, I think this guy's a midfielder. I don't think Weghorst is really a striker necessarily. Almost scored a couple of times today, though. But hold-up play and his pressing on the ball is very, very useful. He's one of them players that sort of, okay, hasn't got the best ability in the world, but he can offer you some things, and those things are very, very important. So, brilliant performance from Weghorst. Right, so that's the main team. Let's go on to substitutions. We had on the bench Garnacho, Heaton, Lindelof, Maguire, Malacia, McTominay, Sabitzer, Sancho, and Wan-Bissaka. I'll save the Maguire chat for just a minute. I'm not going to moan about the Maguire situation. I'm just going to discuss it, because today is the day not for moaning. Today's not the day for moaning. Maguire was subbed on. McTominay did all right. Sabitzer, I thought, was brilliant when he was subbed on. Sancho, a little bit quiet, but did pretty well. And Wan-Bissaka, brilliant down that right-hand side against at Maximan. So let's talk about this trophy lift. That's the topic within the topic of Maguire that I want to discuss. So, just go through missing players. They've still got the same three, which is Martial, Van de Beek, and Eriksen, all with different types of injuries. So, Harry Maguire, probably off in the summer, I would imagine. I think we know, he knows, the manager knows, and everybody knows that his time at Man United is up. I was thinking about this before the game, not really during the game, when he was subbed on, I was thinking about it a bit, and then when it was happening, I was thinking about it. So, this is a trophy that's got three handles on it, usually, because the FA Cup, Champions League, the Europa League doesn't actually have any handles, does it? The Europa League's a weirdly shaped trophy, but it'd be great to win that as well. Premier League, two handles, Champions League, FA Cup, two handles. Carabao Cup has got three for some reason. So he stood next to Bruno. They all walked up the stairs and all that, went to do the trophy lift. Wonderful moment. Haven't seen it for 6 years. And he actually did lift it with Bruno Fernandes. I think sometimes with the, because they do that with the Carabao Cup and I think with the FA Cup, which is where they go, I don't know why, it looks a bit strange. They go up into the stands, lift the trophy, and then go back down onto the pitch. Because I'm sure they don't do it with the Premier League. I think Liverpool did it with the Premier League in 2020, but I think that was because of COVID or something like that. But last couple of times we've seen City lift the Premier League, it's usually not in the stands, it's usually on the pitch, which is the better way to do it. So anyway, I don't particularly like the idea of like, oh, they're on this little portion of the stand and they're lifting a trophy. It just never has looked right, regardless of the team or whatever. So he lifted it with Bruno Fernandes. Bruno Fernandes, who, okay, at times I've, you know, been annoyed with his performance, but he's, other than those times, he's played very, very well, and specifically with his leadership mentality and everything, has been important for the team. Let me go back to the summary here. Because I wondered, okay, Maguire's not going to start this game, right? It's going to be Martinez and Varane. Everybody knew that going in. So Maguire's on the bench. Bruno's going to be starting. He's going to be the captain. Where he's going to play is whatever, but he's going to be the one that's going to be the captain. He's going to be the one to lift it. What do we do if Maguire isn't on the pitch, but is the official club captain still, and is assigned to lift the trophy. Because we know why that sub happened. It's because he could be in the first team, sort of. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if he wasn't subbed on, or even if he wasn't on the bench, he would still have physically been in the stadium and he would still have lifted it. But, and it's not a situation of like, oh, our captain is suspended or injured for the final and they can't play. That's a totally different situation. This is one where, like, you're not good enough to play for us anymore. And you've been put on the bench because you've literally got two players ahead of you. You're still the official club captain. I don't really know what the rules on that are and how Ten Hag can change that. Because clearly he's not. Clearly Bruno is the actual captain. But, yeah, it would have been a lot more awkward and a lot more weird than what it already was. If it's like, hey, I'm just going to pop up and lift this trophy, even though I didn't even barely play in this game and haven't been in this team. It was a little bit odd. It didn't ruin the moment. I was still, you know, emotional and happy and everything when we were lifting the trophy. And I tried to put the Maguire thing to the side. But now that I'm here talking about it, it's easier to bring it up. It was just a little bit strange. And I just wonder in that moment, because you've got like Rashford's there, Martinez is there. I know Lindelof was there as well, but whatever. And you've got like, you know, Casemiro is there, Ten Hag is there. The people that have been more actively involved in the team. And like Maguire's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to lift this up, even though I haven't really done anything or haven't played for ages. Because I'm dropped from the team. And he knows it. Everybody there knows it. Everybody in the stadium knows it. But he's still there. It was a bit strange. But I put it to the side in my mind when I was watching it all happen. I was trying to just focus on the rest of the situation. And I can't recall another time when that's happened, really. I'm trying to think of like other captains that have lifted trophies. I mean, let's say hypothetically we do go on to win the Premier League, which is a bigger trophy. So harder to lift. Is it going to be like Bruno holding one hand all the Premier League and Maguire handing the other one? Because when I've seen, you know, Roy Keane, Vincent Kompany, unfortunately Jordan Henderson, and like other players lift the Premier League, your captain stands at the front and does it on his own and lifts it. So yeah, this whole sharing trophies thing was a bit weird. But it's because of the situation. So, anyway, I thought I'd bring that up. Anyway, let's put all that to the side. We all know the situation there. So, I can put that to the side and move on. Move on from that. Wonder what they'll do if we win the Europa League. Because you look at the design of the Europa League. How do two people lift that? I don't know. I don't know. Unless, like, Bruno's got the underneath part and like the side of a bit of it, and Maguire's holding like the other side of it, or so. I don't know. I don't know. There's no handles on the Europa League though, so you can't do the same thing. I'm sure two people can lift the Europa League, just not in the same way. So, yeah. But nonetheless, still just, again, as I said earlier, you know, not watching Liverpool do it, not watching City do it, you're not watching Chelsea do it, you're not watching anybody else do it. Today it was watching Man United do it, and that was what was the important part here. And it wasn't the case of like, oh, Chelsea need to win this one, or Real Madrid against Liverpool, so Real Madrid need to win this one, or oh, City have to do it, so Liverpool don't. No, none of that today. None of that today. And although we're still doing that slightly with Arsenal, because we're kind of maybe in there, but Arsenal were the ones who we'd prefer to take it if City don't. Instead of City, obviously I prefer us to take it, but if it's between Arsenal and City, I'd prefer Arsenal to get it so that Man City don't get another one and don't get three in a row. So there's still a little bit of that going on, but it's not as stretched as it was before. It's not like last season where we're sitting in seventh and it's like, oh, Man City have to do it so Liverpool don't. But this one's different. It was the final, Newcastle and Man United, and we weren't relying on somebody else to win a trophy. We actually had a team to properly root for today, so it's good to it's a good winning feeling. It's a very, very good winning feeling, it's lovely, and I'm very, very happy to be back in this situation because it's been far too long. It's been far, far too long. Ollie couldn't do it, unfortunately. Ralph slash Ollie slash Carrick couldn't do it, and Ten Hag did. just speak about Ten Hag himself here for a bit. The man's been here less than a year. He had a lot of shit to sort out. A lot of shit. You think about the mess that we were in the summer. It was a case of you're losing, what, 5-6 players? It was, what, Matic, Cavani, Pogba, Mata. Who was the other ones? Lingard. And Greenwood was already suspended at that point, wasn't he? So, because that was in January of last year. And who was the other one? There was another player that I can't think of right now. I think there were 6 players that were running out of contracts. It was Cavani, Lingard, Pogba, Matic, Mata. And, Pereira had, like, agreed to go or had gone or something. So, yeah. And it was like, okay, midfield's desolated. You can't keep picking McFred. So, bring Casemiro in. Bring all these other little players in. And all that kind of stuff. Bring in, you know, Varane is here. Okay, he needs a better defensive partnership. Okay, let's bring in Martinez. Players that he trusted. You know, you've got Antony as well. Casemiro coming in. Eriksen coming in. But it wasn't just a case of bringing in players. I can't believe that. Like, I think sitting here thinking about the work Ten Hag has done now and the very daring and brave decisions that he's done. Doing something like dropping Ronaldo from your team, who is not one of the world's best anymore, but has been one of the world's best, was a very, like, and it worked out. Because although he had a good season before, like last season, he had a good season. This season, Ronaldo just fell apart, and it was a case of like, okay, not just for mentality and for other things, but for actual goals, we have to take Ronaldo out of this team. And it wasn't the way that we wanted Ronaldo's, you know, career at Man United to end. I'll still remember the good old, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, Champions League, 3 Premier League titles. That's the Ronaldo that I'll remember. But he had big decisions like that to do, and, you know, he had to be brave enough to do those things and to not keep sticking Ronaldo in the team and to drop Maguire and to drop Lindelof and to drop McTominay and kind of sort of drop Fred. And also just to, like, give these players a new lease of life almost. Make them believe in themselves again. You look at the, like, body language and the attitude of these players, not just the performance and the results and where we finished and stuff. You look at the body language of these players at the end of last season. We didn't think this team could do anything. And where the scary part came in was like, oh my god, 4-0 again to Brentford. New players come in, new managers here, what's wrong? But it just took that little bit of time. Then we went and beat Liverpool. And now we've won a trophy. It's quite astonishing, really, what he's, not just from a trophy standpoint, but from literally everything that he's done. He got here, what, earlier-ish in the summer. He's been here for about 6-7 months or so, roughly. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but yeah, about 6-7, less than a year is the way to phrase it, and what he's done already. We have to back this man in terms of, you know, whichever owners we end up with, whether it is going to be the Glazers or Jim Radcliffe or the Qatari group. I know I've not spoken about that at all in the podcast, but I'm not going to keep speaking about different owners until something actually happens with it. Because I know that there's been a bid and all this kind of stuff, but whatever. There's no point talking about it properly until anything actually properly happens. But he has to be backed in the summer. You have to get this guy the targets that he wants. And you have to let him get rid of the players that he wants to get rid of. And there's still a few of those to go. But before we get there, before we get to the summer and think about rebuilding, we're still in 2 other competitions. We're still within, we could touch the Premier League. We can't have it quite yet, but we can touch it. And we'll see how we do. We've got West Ham on Wednesday. I think we got Liverpool after that. We got Real Betis in the next round of the Europa League. There's a lot of games. This squad is not very big, but we gotta just keep pushing through. We've kept pushing through all season long. and it's got us one trophy so far. People keep saying, you know what, some people keep saying one down, two to go, which is accurate because those two are in our hands. Some people are saying one down, three to go, including the Premier League. And I like that attitude. I really, really like that attitude. That's what we want to be thinking and feeling. We'll see what we can do. But we're here at the moment. We need to not just brush off this Carabao Cup. It's a trophy we did earn, that we did win. And we'll see what we can do next. What would be the next trophy we'd be able to, like, time-wise, that we'd be able... Because, obviously, naturally, if you're going to win things in a season, unless you're in the first two trophies of the season, the earliest thing you can win is the Carabao Cup. So that just kind of naturally happened earlier. I think the FA Cup is before the end of the season, and then the Champions League is usually after the end of the season, and the Europa League as well. So, got to keep pushing, got to just keep winning. All we can do is just keep winning games. Whether or not Arsenal and City keep doing what they're doing or whatever, we just got to keep winning our games. Keep winning in the Cup, keep knocking people out of it, and keep pushing forward. So, wonderful, awesome, lovely. And we'll see just where we can go from here. That's it for this Carabao Cup special episode, winners episode. Man United are the 2023 Carabao Cup winners, Carabao Cup champions. And it feels very, very good. It feels very, very good indeed. Do you have any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments? What do you think of the team? What do you think of Ten Hag? What do you think of today's game? Anything about any of those situations, feel free to write in matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter eTalkUK, there's a contact page information in the show notes, email box on the website version of the episode, and a clickable email name in the show notes as well. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, main night podcasts. Also keep a lookout, depending on where you live. Tonight, of course, the podcast for the 7th episode of The Last of Us. We've only got 3 episodes left. Look out for that. It's already recorded and in the bag, just not released yet. Look out for that later tonight for another great episode of The Last of Us. Look out for that. Entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk, TV, games, films, main night podcast. If you want to support what we do here and everything else like that, you can tell other people about what we do and where they can find it, either by just telling them or using social media. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, free every podcast with your options. Have a look out for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news over on geektown.co.uk, Geek Town Radio, for renewals, cancellations, pickups, edits. Bex over on Twitch, Trista, BYTES, for retro chat game streams. Me over on Twitch at eTalkUK, YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays. That's it. Thanks very much for listening, and come on you Reds. Until next time, thanks for listening. And I will see you then. Woo! Goodbye.